السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. إن شاء الله we'll continue talking and discussing one name of or two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the same root word, al-majidu wal-majid. Okay, al-majidu wal-majid. Okay. And the word majid has to do with, in Arabic, has to do with a status that is very high, because a quality that is so high, and a giving as well from that status. So al-majidu wal-majid, fa'alu wa fa'il. And one is the verb or the ism al-fa'il, the one who does the action, and the other one, al-majid, is the one who is in exaggeration of the form of the action, And as we understand, the exaggeration when it is in the name and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know it both ways. We know it in a exaggeration in a kam, in the number of actions, an exaggeration in the greatness of one action. Okay, it is both when it is referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one action will be so great, or an action that is done so many times and continuous, then Allah's name will be in the exaggeration form or exaggerated form. I know there is a better word than exaggeration. Exaggeration is not the right word. Who knows grammar in English here? When you say good, better, and the best, what would that be in?
Excellence.
Okay. Super something. Superlative something. Superlative. Superlative. Okay. Yeah. So now, al-majdu, again, it is a status that is very high, and a giving that is so much. Okay. So we as human being, when we connect with, we have to connect, okay? Life and the way we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us, we have to connect with something or another. We cannot be independent. And we try to reach excellence and consume that which is good, and search for that which is good, and look for happiness and so forth. Go forward. Okay. And when we connect ourselves to that which has a limitation, that of excellence and comfort and pleasure would have an end. Okay? It is a component that is built in it. Okay? When you eat, and that food that you're eating, of course, it's a food of the earth, of this dunya, there is a way that we go about it eating, you know, looking for the food that is good and enhance it by making it taste good and so forth and so on, and enjoy that process and enjoy eating. But then there is an end to that. The end of actually the consumption itself, you cannot consume after a certain amount, and also the pleasure. Maybe you can consume more, but the pleasure is gone. It will even be harmful more than beneficial. Okay? Any kind of a pleasure that is connected with anything beside Allah, it has that component in it. The curve goes up and then it has to stop and it has to come down. Okay? So the only true pleasure that we seek, that we can achieve, true pleasure, is a pleasure to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Majid and Al-Majid. The one who reached the excellence of everything, who has the epitome, who is the epitome. Even the word epitome, it seems like it has, like you reach the epitome and that's the top, right? So maybe that word, the epitome also is not befitting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the quality that goes into excellence with no end. Goes to excellence with no end. And goes to giving with no end. Connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a way of connecting to the pleasure that does not have a curve that comes down at the end. Okay? It does subside, not because of the quality itself. It is because of us. It is because we do not continue and try to achieve and keep going. Okay? So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us and facing us as we pray. Allah will not turn away from us unless we turn. When we're done, it's done. Okay? And we stay with it for a while and then seek more and seek more. Okay? So the one who seek that path to Allah, to seek that comfort that is constant and it constantly goes higher and higher and does not have a down curve to it, and you do not quite feel it and know it, it is because of us. It is because of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz. He cannot be contained. But He can give us from Him mercy so much. But we need to deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way of honor. Okay? In a way of honor. Then we'll be able to we'll be allowed to go into this path. Okay? We cannot deal with the book of Allah because the book of Allah is what? Huh? Is Majid as well. Right? إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. Okay, the Quran is Majid. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Majid. What does that tell us? It tells us that the Quran is the highest of status. It is the word of Allah. So it is a word of Allah. So it has to have majd in it. It is Majid. And also, it is constantly keeps giving and does not stop giving. That is a perfect example of Al-Majid. Okay? So, the Quran will not give those who do not deal with the Quran in this kind of a status. Those who deal with the Quran lightly, the Quran will not come to them. Okay? Those who do not deal with the Quran in a respectable way, in an honorable way, the Quran is too majid to come to them. Okay? وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرِ. And we made this Quran easy for remembrance. But is there one that who would like to do so? Is there anyone? Yes. So the one who would want to do so, it's a guarantee this is easy. To go in the Quran and memorize and dwell on it and get the treasure from it. But then it is an amal. And this amal has to be done with good intention and sincerity. Okay? It's like any other amal. It is more than any other amal, any other work. Once done in a proper manner and with sincerity, then you can get the result of it. Okay? Because it is a gift that understanding is a gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. It is not a cleverness that you have. It's not a lot of work that you do that will give you a result. No. You find those who listen, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, then when you hear something from me, give it. Okay? Meaning, convey it to others. Perhaps a one who is a receiver has more fiqh than the one who is delivering the message. Okay? But perhaps the one who is receiving has more fiqh than the one who has the knowledge and delivering it. Okay? So how could that be? Someone going with the knowledge, and he has this knowledge, memorized this knowledge, knows this hadith, knows this, and then he delivers, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, deliver it, a command. Okay? Because you might give it to someone has more fiqh than you. Where did this come from? Okay? When you give this knowledge to someone who does not have that knowledge, he does not have that knowledge and understand it better than me? It is from Allah. Okay? So you find this is continuous in our history. Okay? That has no end. You find books that came down, okay, that actually scholars took it and looked at it and so forth, and then they wrote books about this book, okay, that talks about the same subject. And most of it, you find it almost, it is almost the same. But then there is an addition. Then there is more enlightenment in it and so forth. And then some others will take it and go on with it and on and on. Okay, and also the environment that you are in, that we are in now, is different than the environment that was here 100 years ago, a couple of 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, and so forth. So here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously giving us. And continuously the words of Allah keeps on giving us. Okay? But with the sincerity and the right path of work, then we can achieve understanding and keep getting understanding. As the story that I say many times about the brother who came and was talking to the youth, and he was telling them about how he was trying to memorize Quran. And he was from Egypt. And he said that he went and sat with many, many Qurra that are famous Qurra. Okay? Tried to find where they are and where their sessions and so forth, and started sitting with them, and just the Quran was not coming to him. He was not quite able to memorize. And he said he was trying so hard. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then he said, finally, one famous qari, he said, okay, I give up. Okay, you go to, and he told him to go to someone who's a tailor. Okay, I wonder these days, what a tailor does, right? Okay, so he said, you go to him, and he is very famous in teaching and so forth. Okay, so now this Qari, famous Qari, knows him. So, he must have been with the Qurra, he's a very famous person, but with the public, nobody knows him. So he said he went to him in the old Cairo, in a small, very small, streets, going in a smaller street to a smallest street, right? And then here is a small place, and he goes in, very dark, just small light there, and here is an old man sitting there, opened the Quran and some material in the shelves and stuff. And he said, "When Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam." He said, "Sheikh, I was sent to you by Sheikh so and so and others, and my problem is I don't memorize the Quran, I cannot quite memorize it and so forth. So, tell me what to do." So he said, "You sat with all of these sheikh and you could not memorize." He said, "No." He said, "Okay, tell me what do you do." So instead of giving him a method, he wanted to hear from him first. So he said, "Tell me what do you do?" He said, I I constantly, the Quran is with me all the time, and every chance I get, I try to memorize. He said, that is the problem. He said, what do you mean? He said, that is the problem. You're saying that every chance you get, you try to memorize. The Quran is honorable, it's Majid. It's not going to come to you every chance you get. Okay? You have to be with it, okay, and honor it, and drop everything, and be some time for the Quran and only for the Quran. And then if you have time to do other things, and the time of the Quran has to be for the Quran. Okay? Deal with the Quran in an honorable way, and the Quran will come to you. And he said, I left after that. He said, he memorized Al-Baqarah in a month after that. Okay? That is our way of dealing, should be our way of dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the Quran and with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with the sunnah. Okay? Dealing with it in the most honorable way, because this information is the majd itself, the highest honor and the highest giving. Okay? If the honor of the student by the honor of the subject, okay, and the honor of the subject by the honor of the subject matter and who's teaching the subject, then it has to be the Quran and the Sunnah and the life of Rasulullah ﷺ has to be the most honorable subject. The most honorable subject. And those who seek it must be the most honorable people, must be dealt with as the most honorable people. And this is the dilemma, one of the dilemmas in our Muslim life today all over the world. Okay, when you look at our recent history, how we deal with those who are seeking the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah. Does not matter how much knowledge they carry. It's just because they are on the path of that, they should be honored. When Rasulullah ﷺ said that the every creation is making istighfar for them, even the fish in the sea, just because they are seeking that knowledge, they are on the path of that knowledge. Okay? If all the beings making istighfar for them, and honoring them, so we should honor them. We should honor them. Okay? You know, when those who made fun of the Qurra at the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's not something new. Right? They were munafiqun as they were walking in the army of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam going back to Medina. Traveling, and they were together and saying, "Na'jabu min hawla'i al-qurra." You know, we wonder about those qurra. Okay, qurra meaning they mean the hafaz of the Quran and so forth. They take the Quran all the time and recite it and so forth. Okay, hum afja'una butuna. They are the one who eats from among. They have the biggest of stomach. Okay, wa ajbanuna 'inda al-liqa. And they are the most coward when we meet the enemy. Okay? And they said other words as well. Okay? So, and then they said, shh, shh, shh. You know, because maybe the Lord of Muhammad will tell him about what we're saying. I can imagine that. Imagine someone saying this and they know this. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not very far from them. Okay? Jibreel Alayhi Salam came down and told Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam about what they were saying. Okay? And Quran came down about them in Surah At-Tawbah. أَفَبِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ Isn't it? Who are the Huffaz? Okay. أَفَبِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ
آه.
نعم. And the end of the ayah is this. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ And when you ask them, يَقُولُوا إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُضُ وَنَلْعَبُ They say, we're just making jokes and passing time and making jokes. Here it is. قُلْ أَبِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لا مش مؤمنين. Something else. لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ Do not, are you making fun of Allah and His Messenger and the believers? Do not apologize. Do not apologize, okay? You became kuffar after you became believers. You became kuffar after you were believers. And listen, they were making fun of whom? Of the Qurra. Okay? But here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, are you making fun of Allah and His Messenger and the believers? Okay? So here is the connection, okay? The word of Allah and those who care about the word of Allah, those who recite the word of Allah, those who ponder about the word of Allah, those who take it as a way of trying to take it as a way of life and so forth, and following Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah constantly connect them with Him, Subhanahu wa Taala. Okay, why? Because of the honor of the word, that word, the honor of the path, the honor of the knowledge. لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. So the word came to them, those who were around and listening to them, and then listened to the ayat, came to them and said that their ayat came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم telling him about you. So they went, they did not know what these ayat were. They came to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Okay? And then Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم recited the ayah for them and they started apologizing. And they finished the ayah and said, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُضُ وَنَلْعَبُ Allah said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what Allah said, that you will say, إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُضُ وَنَلْعَبْ Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continue and finish the ayah, telling them, قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ You became kuffar after you were believers. Finishing the words that came down about them. When we look at our scholars and the students of the scholars and those who seek to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in knowledge, they are portrayed in the media, in the Muslim world, in a very low and bad way, in a humiliated way, very humiliated way. نزل عليهم سخطهم بما فيه إنما كنا نخوض ونلعب بآياته نعم قل بالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون And the believers were not even mentioned, subhanAllah. That's even more powerful. The believers were not even mentioned in this. And they were making fun of the believers. Yes. So we find it that this is, you know, the one who seeks that knowledge for a period of time. Now it is starting to get not quite, but there are those who are knowledgeable that talks about this often. And honor those who are students of knowledge, and there are those who are in control of the media and wealth and so forth, start to honor this path and put it up and protect it and so forth, and start to get in a better situation than before. Okay, but our entities that teaches our colleges. Okay, it was known to receive those who have no future. So they say, okay, we'll go to Al-Azhar. You understand? Okay, they started having, you know, Al-Azhar and other universities teaching the deen to accept those who are not graduated from high school from Al-Azhar. Open the door, right? So the one who could not be a doctor, could not be an engineer, could not go to engineering college or this or accountant and so forth, they say, well, okay, I'll just go to Al-Azhar. Okay? And then they would take them in and give them minimum information. Okay? And then give them also the degree of whatever they want to study, if it is even medicine or engineering and so forth, from Al-Azhar. Okay? But then they would have minimum education in deen. So you have someone who is graduating from a college that is a religious college, who is an accountant or a doctor or whatever, or an engineer, and say he is a graduate of Al-Azhar. Okay? And does not know much about Islam. Okay? That was a way to put down and dilute and religion, and to bring it to a way of being very not useful. And eventually, alhamdulillah, those who came and closed that door, they said only those who will continue, and the colleges in Al-Azhar, they have to be graduated from the high school of Al-Azhar, okay, which is all over Egypt, right? So you have your child, you can send him to Al-Azhar from very young, and then he would continue from, you know, elementary school all the way until they graduate from college. Now, those are the one who are taught the disciplines, the religious disciplines throughout their years and so forth. Then you have a graduate, you can say he graduated from Al-Azhar, as whatever it is, maybe as a doctor, an engineer, and so forth, but he is someone who was taught Islam and Quran and Sunnah and all the disciplines since he is young. Okay, and our way, Allah will not give us the majd, the honor, okay, until we give his book and his way and the Sunnah of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the majd that they deserve and the honor that they deserve, and we give those who are going through these disciplines the honor that they deserve. It has to be that way. Okay? Because this honor comes from Allah. This is a gift from Allah. When we take the means does not give us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. Okay? When the Muslimun were in the path of the study of the discipline of this world, as they were scholars, the discipline of this world gave them so much. We were the first in many, many disciplines that we are the ones that our history and our forefathers are the one who give the West that which they have today. They took it and ran with it. Okay? And we went backward. We had these disciplines and then we went back. We went down instead of still going forward. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wished for us to connect our success in this life with the success in the deen, in Islam. So those who are, as a group, as a nation, you are successful and honoring the book of Allah and the Quran and the Sunnah and so forth, then the discipline of this world will come to you and you'll be honored. Okay, you will give honor to these disciplines and you will continue in it and it will flourish. But if you let go with the way of Allah, then you will lose this discipline. But Allah will give it to us as individuals, not as a nation, as a group, as entities, as organizations. We will not get it. So you'll find a Muslim who is a very good Muslim and seek the discipline of medicine or engineering and other disciplines and computer and so forth, they will be the best. Allah will not deny them success in that. They will be the best. Okay? But as an individual, not as entities. Okay? The only way to go in the discipline of this world, okay, in a way of success, is to, as an entities and as a group, as nations, dwell and go into the disciplines of our deen and have and deal with it in a way of that it is the Quran al-Majid and that this honorable discipline, then Allah will give us. This is unique in our history. It's not connected with anything else, and it is not repeated in any time in history at all, before or after. A kafir can take a discipline and take the means and keep going and reach excellence in it and so forth, and keep going to the lab and conducting experiments, and experiments will give him and so forth. And but the Muslim, if he leaves Islam, or the Muslimun, if they leave Islam, okay, then the experiment will not give them. Then it is not going to work out. It will work only as individuals. So when did we come down? Okay, when this separation happened? What happened in the Ottoman Empire? The Ottoman Empire at the end, it became an empire of clannish, nationalistic Islam. Those who would be in charge, there has to be only Turks. Okay? And then there were those who were making jihad in the way of Allah, right? They come back and say, you know, try to blame the way of Islam in a way of regressing. They say we're not progressing because of Islam. We have to progress, so we have to separate between Islam, Islamic law, and now the new world and the new way and the progress. Okay? I was discussing this with someone, and I was talking about the Ataturk, okay, and how they started developing this nationalistic way and so forth, and separation between Islam and law, church and state, and so forth. And they started by having a magazine, okay? It's called, what, Turkey, the Young Woman. Yeah. Turkey al-Fata. Turkey al-Fata. Turkey, the Young Woman. Meaning the young woman that needs to grow and so forth. So when I was talking to him, he said, oh, yeah, in Egypt we have Turkey, the young Egyptian woman as well now. Egyptian, the young woman now. I said, does that tell you something now? Okay, we're going in the same tradition, okay? And that is what? That is when we started, the separation happened now, right? And the separation between us as those who are carrying, giving this knowledge to the West, from those who are carrying it, we could not compete in it. It's gone, as one scholar put it, the Harun al-Rashid, one of the great Khulafa, okay, who sent a clock to Charlemagne of France, right? He sent him a clock that is made by the Muslims, okay, that can tell time by gear in it and drops of water that comes down in the gear and moves the gear and makes a sound at a certain hour and so forth. So when he received it and heard that this box sounds coming out of it and it's making sound and so forth, he said, this has Satan in it. It has the devil in it. Okay, that's how far back they were. Okay, you know, throw it away, keep it away from me, right? Now, my own father, may Allah, rahmahullah, he was telling me when he was very young, when a radio came to their town, okay, their village, a family brought the radio, and everybody, the rumor spread that there's so-and-so house, they have a box that speaks. So the whole village came around, right, to listen to this box. And then they turned it on and here is the box is talking. The Egyptian broadcast system was there, and they said, the box has jinn in it. Until the Egyptian broadcast system broadcasted Quran, then said, okay, then it is okay. But you see how it turned around. Okay, we were the one who's giving the West this clock and the clock, and they saying, he said, there's a jinn in it. Now the West brought us the radio, and we said it has a jinn in it. Okay, and we are the same people, the same generations. There was no cut in history. There is no generation that it disappeared. In history before such things happen, when a generation, some calamity happens, a sickness comes around, and you find a gap in generation in history. You say, okay, the old one had this knowledge, and the new one do not have it because there was a physical gap in generation. But with us, there was no gap. Okay, there was no gap. The gap was between us and Allah. Yeah. Now, so when we give honor, to the word of Allah, when we give honor to this discipline of our deen, okay, we are offering it, okay, but not much receiving it. Okay? We offer it, but not much receiving it. We still receive it in a way of fame. Okay? Also, we have a proverb in Egypt. We say, in Egyptian slang, we say, الشيخ البعيد سر باتع. Right? The faraway sheikh always knows the best. Okay? The faraway sheikh is the one who's always with the most of the knowledge. Right? Okay? We deal with it the same way. Okay? We'll find, you know, some scholars who are around here. Okay? In the masajid close by. A scholar, right? When he goes far away, you know, hundreds will come and listen to him and ask him questions, right? When he comes back here to his masjid, his halaqah, about, you know, 10 or 20 people are there. Okay? Why? Because they got used to him. Okay? They go after fame, you know, a rumor, you know, this person and that person. You're not going to the substance anymore. Okay? You're not going to the word anymore. The honor, if the least is what? If the community knows the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when those who are coming around talking about Allah, talking about the Quran, mentioning Allah, the angels at Sayyaha are coming. There are angels coming around their job on earth. Their job on earth to find out about the halaqat al-dhikr. Okay? Coming around. Okay? This is a fact. Angels coming out. Guess what? There are angels who knows about this halaqah every Jum'ah. And they're coming around. And most of the community do not. The angels are coming around to it and they're not. Okay? If they have that knowledge, despite what is taught, it's just the details, it's just the mission, especially when they know what's taught, is about, and they discussed about the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So they know that the angel will be here. People should come running and be here and sit, because they know that the angels will be touching them, as Rasulullah said. And they will go up in the skies, in the heavens, and mention us by name to Allah. That's a fact. Okay? So who would like to be mentioned by Allah today? Come around. Okay? Is the masjid that built in the way of Allah? It has a halaqah mentioned in the attributes of Allah. And angels will be coming today. Maybe we should send this email. I'm serious. Angels will be coming today to Dar al-Taqwa. Okay? And will be mentioning us with Allah. Those who would like to be mentioned with Allah tonight, come on Dar al-Taqwa bin Maghrib and Isha. Maybe we should send an email that way. Okay? So it is being offered. And no takers, not much takers. Alhamdulillah, there are takers. Alhamdulillah, and increasing numbers everywhere. Alhamdulillah. But I'm talking about the young ones, the children. Okay? We do not push our children for that, to have them takers of this. Okay? And we constantly want to put some sugar on it so we can get the children and get the parents. Right? Okay? So maybe this could be the way, okay? That we'd have an entity of teaching that gets you the best mathematician and the best of scientists, okay? But with that, we're going to teach him the Quran and discipline of deen. That would be perfect path, okay? That would bring a lot of people in. Would bring a lot of people in, okay? I was just talking to, and this is a jewel of a thought. A jewel of a thought, I consider it that. A mother who teaching her children, homeschooling her children. Okay, and that was because of the work that she does. Subhanallah, she has her children, alhamdulillah, every day from 4 to 6 hours a day, memorizing Quran. And then they do the disciplines of all other disciplines as well. And the children are happy walking around, no problems. Okay? Never been in public school at all. But you got them, mashallah, to that discipline that they would sit for a long time and being taught. And they grow up knowing this is the only way to do this, right? They did not know any different. So they got used to this. And they're happy and very healthy, mashallah, smart. And they are ahead in the secular education. Okay? Ahead at least one grade. Okay? So I asked, how do you do this? And I said, you know, we're thinking in Dar al-Taqwa doing this and that and establishing school system and we're trying to figure out some unique way of doing this and that. And this is the jewel that she gave. She said, I tried to give my children all the discipline. And I thought that is a losing battle and it's not going to work out. So I decided that I give them the Quran, most important thing, and the deen, most important thing. So we concentrated on that so much in the bulk of time. And the rest of time, I taught the children reading and math only. To be able to read English very well in the phonics and so forth, and reach excellence in reading, be able to read and comprehend and so forth, concentrated on that so much, and give them math in a very detailed level, okay? And now the older ones are knowing, mashallah, through a lot in math. And she said, that only those two disciplines that I concentrated on for years, okay? Then a child is able to read and have very good concept in math, give them any book in science and they will memorize it and understand it very quickly. Why? Because their reading skills is very high. They can comprehend very quickly. At the same time, they have a very high level of concept of math. Then anything you give them after that. And now, she said, now after that, I give them anything. And that which I was used to teach them in months, they only are taught in it in days because they have those two disciplines. Okay? I'm saying this is what we need. This revolutionary kind of way of thinking, this as they call it, out of the box thing, okay, meaning that we have the new generation has to come up with these disciplines, okay, that be able to have the Quran with them, have the Sunnah with them, understand it in depth, and be able to implement it and know the Arabic language. Okay, Arabic language from their very very young age, so they can know they have the habit of Arabic, not the mechanics of Arabic. Okay, when they get older, you could teach them the mechanics of Arabic, but as they are young, they know they get the talent of Arabic. They understand it. They understand it as a language before they understand it as a mechanics of nahw and sarf and grammar and all of that. Okay, you know, I have someone I know who had his children going to a babysitter. Okay, and the babysitter was an Indian or a Pakistani, okay, a sister who did not know much English. So his children eventually was able to know Urdu and some Hindi and some other language, just being there, because they heard it all the time, right? So when he would come and pick up the children up, eventually they act like translators. Okay, we want to say something, they would translate it to Urdu and so forth, right? And then he said, "What the?" And then when they spoke English, when they did not understand the word in Urdu and wanted to say it in English, they would say to the sister the word in English, but with an Urdu accent. You understand? With an accent that's broken accent, broken English, so she would understand it. Nobody told them that. You understand? Nobody told them that. Okay? But they understood that this is how the dynamic works. Okay? That is a genuine way of teaching. You know, when you have a child or children, you have 20 children with someone talking to them Arabic all day long. Come here, sit down, open the book, do this, go to the bathroom, come here, stop doing this, and all in Arabic. That's it. You are teaching Arabic without teaching Alif Ba. Okay? When you have children do not know the Alif Ba but know Arabic, that is when you start saying that these children now, they have the talent of Arabic. They have the talent of the language. It is embedded in them. Okay? Now those children, when they grow up a little bit and you teach them now Alif Ba and so forth, and talk to them still Arabic, you can teach them math in Arabic. You can teach them science in Arabic. Okay? And the English will come anyway. Okay? This is an experiment that's done in the United States in different languages. Okay? I went to a school that was taught the students, a public school, taught the students in a foreign language purposely. Because they said you're going to carry the English anyway. So they had that experiment. Those who were interested to put their children in a different language, they go ahead. And they opened the door, and many family put their children in there, a public school, right? And they taught in the kindergarten, the first grade. They taught that language in the first 3 or 4 or 5 months, okay, with English. And then after 5 months, they stopped talking English. And they spoke only that language. And we went and looked at the children. And then we went to a higher grade. Here's the teacher was teaching in that language. And the children are answering and back and forth and so forth. And then they will go out, talk to each other English. English that we know, American English. Okay? It was unbelievable. SubhanAllah. Okay? So we asked the those who are in charge. Said, what about college? When those children graduate with... knowing all these things in all these disciplines in a language that is a foreign language, what do they do in college? And they said, they perform better than the average child or average youth. Why? Because knowing multi-language opened up their brain more, and English is not a big deal. They know it because they are in the environment of English. So that it becomes an extra with them. Okay, now. Why can't we do this? The answer is because Allah is Al-Majid and Al-Majid. And we do not deal with Allah and the Quran as إِنَّهُ لَقُرْآنٌ مَجِيدٌ فِي لَوْحٍ مَحْفُوظٍ. We do not deal with this discipline, with this honor. As teachers and as parents, okay, once we do that, we have the intention of and put the honor and put the our discipline of deen in a high honorable shelf. Okay, and look at it as the most honorable. Unless and until we do that, we're not going to be successful. We're not going to be successful. Okay, so yes, we can be successful entities again. Not individuals, and we need to start to creating these entities. And every time in history, when the Muslimun went down in the curve again, Islam, the curve of Islam does not come down. The curve of Islam is always high, but the Muslimun come down because they leave Islam. Okay, so always when the Muslimun came down, what happened? They started with these disciplines to get the youth and the children up to the curve of Islam again. And then when they come with the curve of Islam again, what happened? They continue with Islam, and Allah will give them again. That's always been the way. So, we need to work in this. We need, again, our share in this attribute. Our share in this attribute is to do the same, to reach excellence, and to be constant giving from what you have. To share in this attribute, okay, of Majd al-Majid. Al-Majid is to seek the high level of discipline and attributes of and manners, okay, to keep seeking it, keep understanding it and seeking it in everything that we do. And constantly while we're doing that, we are giving and keep giving without stopping. Okay? And doing that will create, you know, we keep adding and adding more those who do so together. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in what we do. And will give us the opportunity to raise those who are having the honorable discipline and other world discipline or secular discipline that comes to Islam and becomes honorable as well. Our deen could never be diluted with anything else. Okay? But at the same time, can take everything in it. Okay? Our deen, everything can come into it and will be honorable with the honor of this deen. But our deen could not be thrown into a pot and diluted and become, you know, washed with everything else. And this is what we're trying to do. And it is wrong. Okay? We're trying to get our religion, our deen, and go to a pot that has all other things that's foreign our deen and throw it in it and say we are just like everybody else. You lost this dunya and al-akhirah. And you'll never reach success. Because that is the formula that brought us down. That's exactly when we came down. Okay, when we started saying our deen is bringing us back and we need to go forward and let it go with our deen, okay? That is how we lost the secular superiority, if you will. Okay, now we're saying you continue in the same path and saying, you know, we are people this, we are just like you with this and that, and try to put it in we're not typical Muslims. You know how many times you see here these words, right? And you put in the deen in the pot and saying just stare it and say you'll never, this is what brought us back. Now how do we go forward? And we'll go back to progress. We need to go back to progress. Okay, how do we do that? Is by, again, holding our deen in very high status and try to live up to our deen and move up toward where Islam is now, and then bring other disciplines. Now other disciplines, Allah will honor us with it, and it will be honorable, and it will fit in our deen, but it will not be melted with everything else. It will be enhanced with Tawheed, enhanced with the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, enhanced with the fiqh, enhanced with Sharia, enhanced with everything else. Okay? Just like the Islamic banking now in the Muslim world, how it is still strong and high up. Why? Because it did not come down to the other banking system and the pot was melted, or everything melted in the pot. No, they said this is what cannot do, and this is what we can do, this is halal, this is haram. So everything else falling down, and it is still holding its root. Why? Because you can bring everything in it, and it will measure it, and leave some, and keep some. But you take it itself and throw it with everything else, will never work. I'm sorry you talked, you know, too long today. Inshallah, you have the microphone, and please. make comments, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا شيخ محمود. Just to add to your thoughts, Allah سبحانه وتعالى emphasizes this in the Quran multiple places that if you are not going to do that, then Allah will literally get rid of you and replace you with somebody else who love the Allah and His Messenger, honor Allah and His Messenger, and they're gonna carry through.
You were the leaders, and then you'll be fired.
Exactly, yes, exactly. Yes. So we have a choice now. Since we are still alive, you know, and we have, mashallah, in the West, all the means possible. Maybe then back home in my country, other people's country, they lack of the means. They don't have the you know resources. Mm-hmm. We have here everything. We cannot say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh, if we have this, if we have that. We have everything. Mm-hmm. So we have a chance and we have a choice to do while we are still alive, to do what you just exactly said, what you said exactly, you know. Go back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah and the Quran and make it the priority number one in our life. Children, students, adults, young, you know, youth, whatever it is. And if we do that, then we did something for our akhirah, and then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next generation, will give them, you know, tawfiq to carry on what we are doing. If we don't, then guarantee, Allah will not let go with His religion and, you know, His Allah will replace us. As simple as this. Maybe the next generation, maybe the following generation, somebody will take our place, we will be losers. They will carry on and they will curse us, actually. They said our grandfathers, we do that now. We do for our grandfathers, we said, oh, look what they have done to us. We are in the lowest of the lowest because they did not hold to the religion and so on. That's one point. The second, and it's amazing what you said is right. So far, I did not talk to any young man who is memorizing the Quran and his parents make it priority, and he told me, oh, I really memorized the Quran, but I failed high school. I never heard such a thing. Mm-hmm. All of them 15 years old, 14. Last time, you remember the brother who we talked to, he said, oh, I finished high school. How old are you? He's 15. So he followed the path of the Quran, and he have the dunya with it. So there is no contradiction between the two. You could be the best physician and scholar in Sharia, like the brother, the doctor who came here and gave us a lecture 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a pediatrician, and he have a master degree in Sharia, and so everything he have, subhanAllah. May Allah bless him. Mm. So there is no contradiction in this. And Dr. Hatim. And like you said, language, and I could testify for that in Syria, they teach everything in Arabic.
Yeah.
And I am one of the students in Arabic. And by the testimony of all the people who work with the Syrian doctors, they said they are best doctors in the United States. And they never taught anything in English in Syria, in medicine.
The only country.
Right,
that
the only right.
The discipline of.
Right.
Of course, the
government did not mean it, but it's happened by accident. So it's for political reason they hold the Arabic language, but not for Allah. Yeah. But subhanAllah, the students graduate from medical college, they come within a year or two, they transfer all their knowledge to English. They pass the exams, they become the best physician and best engineers and so on and so forth. So Arabi have nothing to do. Don't blame Arabi. Mm-hmm. Don't blame, you know, the Quran. Mm-hmm. So you, people, I think you give me some thoughts now. If we are, inshallah, going to start a seed in the future, mm-hmm. that will be it.
Be on the right path.
That will be it, inshallah.
Yes.
We will establish a class,
yes.
Teach everything in Arabi, right? Quran and Sunnah. and some math and some reading in English. That's it. Wallahi, this is, inshallah, the way to go.
Inshallah, okay, brothers, go ahead and make comments. Inshallah, we can burn a CD with this, inshallah.
Doesn't matter if
and,
in,
and give it, and
even
give
three
it to
students,
the
five
inshallah.
Students, do we start with that? Because we have the place, we have the money, we have just, we need somebody who are committed to that. Mm-hmm. We bring a teacher who is teaching Quran and another teacher reading and math, you know, in the part time.
You know,
full time Quran and Sunnah, and part time math and reading, and that's it.
Yes.
Inshallah.
You have, when you find those who are on the same thought, okay, have the same passion, looking for the same results, Allah will bring barakah in this. You know,
definitely.
I wish to see someone who is a PhD in math, okay, in some discipline in math, who's teaching, you know, elementary school. You understand?
Right.
who is, and he knows Quran and Sunnah. You know, that the excellence, the excellence.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send us some people inshallah. Like this. Inshallah. I mean, there is a lot of people that isn't really looking for the money. And the wealth.
And they should
like
get the money too.
Fine, but
yeah,
I mean,
they should get the money too. Yeah.
A PhD, if he lower himself to the, you know, to become a elementary teacher, Allah will hire him, put him in the highest status of the highest place in the world, dunya and akhirah, inshallah.
Yeah.
So inshallah, Allah will send us if we started, and then at least we start something, inshallah. And I'm really thinking about it seriously now.
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So we have Matthew here. He's going to Medina, inshallah. He's trying to apply for a scholarship in Medina. So make dua for him, inshallah. May Allah accept him there, inshallah. And he come back as a scholar for us, inshallah.
No comments. Yeah. Anyone who has, you know, children and give us some thoughts about what we discussed, and you know, give
Ali,
us some feedback.
Ali, he just have a new baby, mashallah. Ali. Yeah, that's what we need. The new babies in the start from them. You know, like 2-3 years old. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah. So in classes, you know, just speak Arabic. So when they go home, they can teach the parents too.
Yeah. Yes. I heard an amazing study on public radio about a couple of weeks ago. A study about how baby cries. Okay, you thought a baby cry, right? It's an international language. Right. Baby cries, right? They said no. Baby cries differently from one country to another. And they studied it in depth, and they said the baby cries according to the language that they hear. Okay, according to the language that they hear. For example, if the language would have a high pitch at the beginning and then a very lower pitch at the end with that stop abruptly, okay, you find the child crying the same way with the same pitch, right? Will go up and then come down and then stop abruptly. If the language goes any other way, the baby will cry the other way, okay? Subhanallah. I mean, you know, just how the brain takes this in, and as a sponge, you know. My niece yesterday was talking to her in Egypt. She's, you know, born and she was raised here, and now she's living here. She had a baby, and you know, they speak English, and then of course the environment, they speak Arabic, and she said that my baby prefers Arabic than English, because I talk to her, I say, you know, give me this, and they would say it in Arabic and in English, and the baby will pick it up the Arabic, and they'll not talk the, about the English. You can, they'll not, they refuse to take the English and take only the Arabic. But then when they speak in English, and somebody in speaks Arabic around does not know English, then the baby will translate. Okay. The baby, okay, about less than 3 years old, translating from English to Arabic. Okay? Subhanallah.
We have Mahmoud. Do you know Mahmoud?
Yes.
He refused to learn English.
Yes.
He's 3 years old. I saw him, I mean, a year old.
Speaking in the microphone.
After a year, you think he will be picking up English and talk to you in English. That's what adults do. Yeah. You know, after a year, they start making their tongue half English, half Arabic. But he refused. He is like, he speak me in Arabic and not Arabic. Egyptian Arabic. Accent Arabic, huh? Yeah, I mean, he is excellent in talking in Arabic. He talk on any subject you want.
MashaAllah.
He's 3 years old.
You know, one day last year, he came, you know, used to come when I sit here.
Right.
He used to come in my lap after I'm finished listening to the halaqa, right? So he came to see how it is because of, MashaAllah, the way he's taught is like this. He came to me, sat in my lap, and then as Muhammad Yunus, Brother Muhammad, was giving the lecture, he had a napkin in his hand, a square napkin, okay? So he goes in my ear and hold it, he said, murabba, square, right? In Arabic, this is a square. And then he goes and keep folding and this and that, and then make it a triangle. And he goes in Arabic, musallas, a triangle. This little, right? Yeah. And then make it and then mustatil, you know, and then so forth. Subhanallah. So again, it is, he knows something about math. Right?
Right.
And Arabic.
Right. So the idea of starting like a preschool and putting the children in it, we have been discussing this with one of the our sponsors in these issues, that I think it's valid, it's very good, that put a preschool and put the one who's taking care of them only speak Arabic, at nothing except Arabic, and knowledgeable in Quran, and some math, some, you know, basic math, basic reading, and now you have a year worth of Arabic lessons, and then here's the idea we have to carry after that. We don't let go with the child who is, you know, preschool, learn some Arabic and just let him go in the public school. You have to, you know, either invent some homeschooling for him to continue, or a class here in the masjid, inshallah. But I think this is going to work, inshallah, that a preschool, 3-4 years old, you know, speak Arabic to him all the day, 8 hours a day, he will pick up the language, definitely.
Yes.
I mean, and he will be, like you said, a translator between you and and insist not to speak any word in English.
Yes.
That should be our recommendation or laws or regulation.
Yes.
Allah alam.
It is alhamdulillah so good. The same thing happened in Pakistan when Pakistan was created in 1947. There was a chance that which language should be there besides Urdu and English, of course, Arabic or Farsi. For some reason, the decision was made for Farsi.
SubhanAllah.
I don't know the details, maybe Dr. Sreen knows better why the decision was made. And when I was in school, we always used to have Arabic/Farsi because the paper was printed, I think, in millions or something, or maybe machine was Arabic/Farsi. But they used to scratch, put a line on Arabic means the language is Farsi. And Farsi was at the level where we could communicate in up to certain extent in Farsi, and we can understand. when I came here, I did not hear or speak or Farsi for so long, years and years. And one day I had a chance to go to Braddock Road in Virginia for Juma. And the imam there is from Afghanistan or Iran. He gives khutbah, first part in Farsi, and second part he himself translates that in English. So the first part, I was little amazed that I understood his Farsi khutbah as well as I understood his English.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the religious Farsi is different from the spoken or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people in Pakistan do think now that if the decision was made in those days for Arabic, then the decision was made for Farsi, the situation could have been much different.
Mm-hmm.
The reason could be that Shah of Iran was in Iran and Pakistani government had very close relationship with mm-hmm. Iran in those days. Maybe it was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Wallahu alam. I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. inshallah if that happens. Maybe it is better late than never if mm-hmm. we started now here.
Yeah, yes.
Inshallah may Allah help us.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
I just wanted to share you a story about talking about the kids, how they pick up
yes.
language. My son, he was going to kindergarten or mm-hmm. pre-K, kindergarten, and he was 4 years old. My wife came to work, you know, to pick me up, and then he goes, I'll go get daddy. And he comes to my office. When he came in, he saw a co-worker, and then my name is Khadr. In Arabic, Rabbi Khadr.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, I'm looking for my father. So what's his name? He said, Khadr. Then the lady looked at him and said, what's his name? And then automatically he changed the accent. He goes, Kadar. So, yeah.
SubhanAllah. They are capable of, I heard an article, or read an article one time, of up to 10 languages,
mm-hmm.
you know, between the age of 2 and 7
mm.
or 10. You know, they are amazing how many languages they could pick up.
Yeah,
if you want to teach them. So, subhanAllah, this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, we should use it.
Yes.
We should not let go with this. Yes. And it's very important.
Yes,
Allahu alam.
We did the same thing when our children were born. Me and my wife, we decided that they are going to learn English anyway. So we will teach them Punjabi.
Mm-hmm.
So at home, I mix that with English sometimes mm. because their Punjabi is getting diluted. But they, with their mom, they speak 100% Punjabi.
Mashallah.
All three of them. But if we did that for the reason that they're going to learn English anyway when they go out in the school or whatever. And we should concentrate on our own language.
Yes.
But maybe same thing we should have done with Arabic too,
yes.
inshallah.
Yes.
There was one scholar from Africa. One time he was in a conference and he said that the people, immigrants who come to the United States, they emphasize to for their own culture, their own language, and 50% of them are successful, 50% are not. Mm-hmm. And when the third generation comes, hardly 25% are mm-hmm. successful. And after that, the language is gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we, the Muslims, should concentrate only on two languages, the language of the Prophet and the language of the land.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah.
we are seriously yeah, thinking about it. We are putting some plan. So go back to Pakistan until to change from Farsi to Arabic. Yeah,
mashallah. You know, inshallah, you know? Maybe we're thinking about having a crash course in Arabic, maybe in 3 consecutive or 4 consecutive weekends. Okay? Like, you know, maybe 5 hours every, like, Saturday or something like that, or 6 hours, you know, 3 or 4 consecutive, or every other weekend and so forth.
But the medium for instruction, the English?
The what?
Which language it will be taught, English?
It will be taught in Arab, inshallah.
So, Sheikh Mahmoud, I have suggestion in the i'tikaf, which we do, alhamdulillah, every year, 10 days minimum. Let's put a rule or regulation that nobody can speak except Arabic. It's too bad. Too bad for you. Serious. You have 24 hours for 10 days every Ramadan, right? And you have some brothers here making i'tikaf Arab. I think there is at least 5 to 10 people. And the whole communication should be in Arabic, 24 hours. They used to talk, okay, but you have to know. There is no...